Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome again, Bill.
Welcome. It's good to be back.
Yep, and this afternoon, Bill, we're going to talk a little bit more about the life of Hudson Taylor. We've been enjoying fellowship concerning his life and his service. And last time, if you remember, we talked mainly of how he began to have several learnings before the Lord. Of course, he learned, first of all, to what he said, it was to move man through God by prayer alone. He really learned how to pray and learned how to bring everything to the Lord, especially his request. And along with that, he had to begin to learn how to live a life by faith. And last time we recounted how he eventually, after he cut off ties with the Evangelistic Association that sent him out, he was totally dependent on the Lord to begin to trust the Lord to supply him and to supply all his needs. So this was surely a real learning that he had. Of course, he also had to learn to be content in all the new environments that he found himself. And he had to learn how to bring his troubles. Sometimes he was already, even from the start, suffering some criticism, even by the other missionaries. So he had to learn how to bring all his troubles to the Lord in prayer, mm-hmm. to keep himself from any kind of bitterness. Then last time we saw how he and this brother named Dr. Parker began to go and take some journeys into the interior of China. That was their goal.
Right.
And when they did that, they began to distribute Bibles and tracts and began to preach the gospel. And of course, they also offered some medical care to the people that they met. And these were some initial very good experiences they had. And they initially, they found the people were a little bit curious and sometimes antagonistic toward them, but eventually through their service and through their speaking, the door began to open more and more with them. So of course Hudson did practice what he said was, in everything that's not sinful, he wanted to become just like the people he was serving. He wanted to become Chinese in order right. that he could save some. He took the pattern from the Apostle Paul that he would just be like the people he was around. So these brothers went forth in this way. And one thing we like to bring out today, Bill, is how Hudson Taylor was not individualistic.
Right.
He really wanted to serve, and he was very happy to serve together with others. And actually, if you recall, Paul told Timothy that we should pursue with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we know in the Gospels, the Lord often sent the disciples out two by two. So this was Hudson's desire. He did desire to serve alongside others. And, of course, in the beginning, he co-labored with this Dr. Parker. But eventually, Dr. Parker was led to serve at a medical clinic in the city of Ningpo.
Right.
So Hudson was left alone for a period of time, and he, on the one hand, he was kind of longing and praying that the Lord would give him another companion to serve with. Of course, in the process, though, he did testify that even when he was alone, he felt he was not totally alone, that his spirit was to serve with others, but in this environment, sometimes he was on his own, and he said, but still he had such a sensible presence of God with him, and the Lord was really drawing him to himself to pray and to watch as he served. So this was quite a good experience, learning to serve there in China as he began to take these journeys into the interior.
I think it's a worthy too, Marty, to note that these journeys were into the interior of China. Very few even missionaries from their boards would venture inland beyond the coast of China. So this was really a challenge for Hudson Taylor and his companion. And especially after he severed his ties with that Chinese Evangelization Society, he was mm-hmm. really, in a sense, on his own, but he realized he couldn't do things on his own. And that's why the Lord, like you said, put him in contact with that Dr. Parker. But of course, eventually, Dr. Parker, you know, was led to serve at a medical clinic in the city of Ningpo, leaving, you know, Hudson alone. He even wrote to his sister Amelia that, you know, I have such a sensible presence of God with me as I never before experienced, and such drawings to prayer. He realized he needed a companion. He can't do it alone. He prayed for someone to labor with. Then the Scottish evangelist by the name of William Burns, who had been serving in China since 1847, Burns met Hudson in 1855. They both clicked, right? They had the same spirit, the same heart, not just to reach people on the coastal areas where most of the missionaries served, but to go inland to the interior of China. Of course, Burns was somewhat a good number of years older than Taylor, just like Paul was much older than Timothy. Yet Paul and Timothy labored together. They were quite harmonious. Hudson, of course, got a lot of help from Burns, especially Burns, his personal life in prayer, in the Word. And, of course, William Burns received some help also from Hudson. After seeing even how much more open the people were to Hudson, because he did not dress as a foreigner, even Burns took up the Chinese dress also. So Burns was influenced by Hudson Taylor in a positive way. Of course, they worked together about 7 months or so, going place to place in fellowship. They realized the harvest was great. They were considered themselves feeble instruments, yet they were accomplishing a great thing. They had to be empowered by the Spirit. They had to confront the darkness there, you know, the ignorance, the indifference of the people. Even one time they came to Sueto, a city where sin was like reigning like a king, you know, with the opium, the slave trade. And as they went about there in Sueto, Burns used his favorite verse, you know, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, being always ready for a defense to everyone who asks of you an account concerning the hope which is in you. So the Lord really used them to work together.
It's true, Bill. I think they really had a testimony, and I really appreciate this, that they weren't focused on their ages, but they just labored together as brothers, and their testimony was very harmonious. And, of course, when they preached the gospel, they did see some get saved. And there is an account in their biographies of this one man, a businessman named Nei, and he received the gospel. He was a devout Buddhist, but he couldn't shake the realization he had. He was concerned about his sins. So one time he heard Hudson preach about the brass serpent in John chapter 3, and he was really touched by that, and it caused him to repent and believe in the Lord. And he later testified, he said he had long sought the truth. And he said, so did my father before me, but without finding it. He said they looked in Confucianism and Buddhism and Taoism, but they found no rest. But this man testified that he said, now I do rest in what I have heard here tonight. Therefore, I'm going to be a believer in Jesus. So he came to salvation. And he rejoiced, and the brothers rejoiced together with him. But then a little later on, there's an account where he asked Hudson one time, how long have you had the glad tidings in England? And of course, Hudson told him that the gospel had been there for several hundred years. So this Mr. Nei, he said, is it possible that you have known about Jesus for so long and have only now come to tell us? He said, my father sought the truth for more than 20 years, and he died without finding it. He said, oh, why did you not come sooner?
Well, that was convicting, huh?
It was. I think it really stirred and convicted Hudson. And, of course, at the same time, I think it really confirmed and strengthened his move and his purpose in coming to China. So I think this was really their burden, to bring the gospel to those who had been waiting for such a period of time. So anyway, these two brothers really served together, Hudson Taylor and William Burns. And they served, like you mentioned, for 7 months, but eventually they were separated after serving together for quite a while. If you read Hudson's account, he said, never had he such a spiritual father as Mr. Burns, and never did he know such holy, happy friendship. So he really appreciated him, and he said his love for the Word was so delightful, and his holy life before the Lord of constant communing with God made fellowship with him satisfy the deep cravings of his heart. So I think Hudson really appreciated serving with that brother. And William Burns also really had quite a testimony there in the interior of China.
That was a real companionship of God. Of course, Hudson going on, of course, now he's without Mr. Burns. He's without William Burns. And eventually, Hudson visited the city of Ningpo, where, you know, Dr. and Mrs. Parker were serving. And there, Hudson had a unique experience that's where he met his future wife. So the Lord was after giving him another companion, a wife as a companion. Right. And her name was Maria Dyer. She was an orphan daughter, and she was happened to be teaching at the school for girls. And eventually Hudson met her, took note of her, and realized how much she was for evangelization. And no doubt, trying to bring those girls to Christ. They became friends. Eventually, over time, their hearts were knit together. They fell in love with one another. And even as he traveled on from Ningpo to other places, right? He could. It was not easy for him, Marty, to forget that relationship with Maria. Of course, it was not an easy relationship. Because no doubt Hudson had no support from any kind of denomination, any kind of evangelistic society, and that was frowned upon quite much. And this, no doubt, was probably bothered Maria's relatives. So Maria kind of passed through a trial here also. Because she received criticism, you know, against Hudson about not belonging to any kind of organized group or missionary society. Plus, he dressed like a Chinese. Probably he was maybe one of the few that did this. So that caused a real problem, no doubt, with some of Maria's friends. And, you know, he was somewhat condemned, like he's not connected to anyone. He's not recognized officially as an ordained one, a minister of the gospel. But still, it's remarkable. Maria passed the test. She respected his vision to take the gospel to the interior. And eventually, what was marvelous is that now became her vision. So now you have Hudson and Maria both having the same vision. So no doubt after a period of months, especially Maria's uncle kind of gave a blessing on their engagement. And then eventually Maria told Hudson, have you forgotten I was left an orphan in a far off land? God has been my father all these years. Do you think I should be afraid to trust him now? So obviously Hudson was quite rejoicing over this, thanking the Lord for faithfully answering his own prayers to lead him to such a sister as Maria Dyer. Eventually they were married and served together starting from 1858. Hudson was 28. He was 7 years older than Maria, but the Lord really blessed them.
Well, Bill, this is quite a testimony to see how Hudson, first he served together with Dr. Parker, then he served with William Burns, and then the Lord answered his prayers and finally led him to find a spouse. And at this point now, he's beginning to serve with his wife. So he was really rejoicing. The Lord really gave him quite a sister who had the same heart, the same vision, and the same spirit to serve together with him. So I think in all these things, Bill, and all the learnings and just the short record that we've gone through so far, you could really begin to see that the work in China really depended upon the person and not some methods. And of course, Hudson wrote this of this very matter Yeah, he published a book one time called Union and Communion. And he said, what we are is more important than what we do.
Right.
So I think that was really his testimony. He really had a life before the Lord. He learned something of William Burns, how to spend time in fellowship with the Lord, how to come to him in the Word. And I think his wife was also a real helpmeet to him in that way.
Right.
But he himself became the person that the Lord was able to use. Of course, this teaching or this view, I think later on, Brother Witness Lee, I think, picked up on this. And
that's
this had
right.
a real deep impression on him. And he testified the same thing. He said, the person is God's method. So in the New Testament, it's very difficult to find out what is the method or a way to serve. Sometimes we all seek out what should we do, how should we do things. But the emphasis in the Bible is not so much on the ways or on the methods. It's still on the person himself.
Right.
So this was Hudson's testimony, and I think this was surely the testimony of Witness Lee and the brothers later. He said, if God does not gain a person, he will have no way to work.
Right.
And he will have no way to do anything in that country. But surely, I think this was the testimony there in China with Hudson Taylor and those who would follow him, was that the Lord had to gain these persons.
Right.
And the Lord was doing this. He was really gaining such a person in China. And surely, along with that, the Lord was beginning to have a way in that great land of China. So we just have to be really thankful
right.
for this kind of testimony. I think this should be a real learning to all of us, that the Lord is more concerned with what we are than what we can do.
Right. Really so. What we are is more important than what we do. No doubt Brother Lee referenced, you know, a number of times Hudson Taylor's life and person many times, very impressed with that, because he realized it was Hudson's person. Then with Watchman Nee, it was his person.
All right, Bill. Well, I think this is a good lesson for us to receive today. And next time, we'll continue on. There's much more concerning the life and service. I think next time, we'll get into how this work in China began to be enlarged or expanded. And that is this person of Hudson Taylor began to seek more to serve together with him. So next time we'll continue on and see the testimony of these brothers who have gone before us. So we'll stop here for today. Thanks, Bill.